Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Episode 11, The Imaginary Meal.
If you've ever been shot at in Sicily, dined at up by the water's edge on the sun-drenched Isle of Capri, done business on the strangest of Italian towns, been banged up in Rome's infamous jail, wept at a much-loved matriarch's funeral, and been marched out of St. Peter's by the Swiss Guard. If you've ever savored the brilliance and diversity of Italian cuisine, been overwhelmed by their art and architecture, sold 10,000 rugby shirts to Italian fashion houses, and finally, grammatically escaped from using the infinitive and arrived at the conditional, then there is most certainly an intriguing tale to be told.
Towards the end of the season, Rugby Prato has an away game in Reggio Calabria at the toe of the boot of the Italian mainland. Virtually only a drop kick from Sicily and all that goes with it. Club finances are being stretched towards the end of the season, so we are booked on the train from Florence early on Saturday morning. The match will be played under the fiercely blazing sun on Sunday at 11 a.m, leaving time for a Calabrian lunch with the train back home departing at 4 p.m. The only problem here is that the journey time is nearly 10 hours each way. Outward bound, we have specially reserved carriages and a section of the dining car for lunch. On the return leg, with it being such a long journey, we will break it up with a special onboard dinner pre-ordered from the restaurant car. Importantly, on the way back, we have special convertible sleeping compartments, so, all in all, this should be a relatively painless operation. Despite the length of the journey, going down was an utterly pleasurable experience. Really, just like a coastal tour of southwestern Italy, whilst chatting amicably with friends and teammates in our specially reserved carriages. First, passing the Etruscan town of Viterbo, we make our way to Rome, then bisecting the famous World War II battle areas of Anzio and Cassino, we catch our first views of the shining Mediterranean Sea and the island of Ponza as we head for the central station in Naples. The rest of the journey doesn't disappoint. We skirt Salerno, the tomato capital of Italy, Tropea, the onion capital, and the coasts of Campania and Calabria, arriving finally at our destination, Reggio Calabria, the regional capital. The trip has also been enhanced by, if you think that was good, wait till you see what special food arrangements we have made for the return trip tomorrow evening, says our confident general manager. Thumbs up from all of the boys for our forward-thinking club directors. There are all types of strikes, scioperi, going on in the railway service sectors, and we are now informed that the train departure is delayed 2 hours till 6 p.m. So we amble around town buying the odd souvenir. In Ian's case, a bottle of the local brandy. I'm sure l'Americana will love that, and in my case, a nice copy of the Riace Bronzes for Susan. Finally, we chug out of Reggio on our long trip home, and the boys are now anticipating a spectacular supper on board, with lots of wine and a good sing-song. It'll certainly help kill the lengthy journey time. Notwithstanding, the boys have all agreed to restrain themselves from entering the dining car till after 8 p.m, thus spacing the journey out. Knowing this will be difficult for some of our party, the overall excitement of eating and drinking well at the club's expense will just about result in some restrained behaviour, at least for a while. At 7:15, they are getting fidgety. At 7:30, our team general manager resists attempts to have him reveal what his special menu is all about and smiles confidently. At 7:45, people are up and moving around. The three quarters are shaking loose their legs as if preparing for a 100-metre sprint. The front row forwards are rotating their necks and rolling their arms and shoulders in limbering up exercises. The thought of a wonderful free meal while speeding through the darkening Campania countryside is simply too much for our forwards, and with adrenaline pumping, as if preparing for the start of a match, a couple of them start a bit of one-on-one scrummaging practice. It's all getting a bit too exciting. Renato, the club captain, stands up and says, "Wait here! Let me just go and organise the restaurant, order the wine and water, and make sure the seating is in place." He is away for what seems like an age. But eventually he returns, ashen-faced, and says, "The restaurant is closed, all due to a travel and food union strike." Pandemonium breaks out, screaming and shouting at first, which soon morphs into a tumultuous clamour for our innocent general manager's head. I'm not sure, but in all this bedlam, I think I just catch a glance of one of our prop forwards' bottom lip quivering. The hue and cry goes on for a while. The transport unions are blamed, with our hardline communists defending them and the Gucci capitalists on the attack. It's disappointing that a socio-political debate has broken out. We have been able to keep the team's split political views together in a sporting sense, but now a cancelled dinner reservation threatens to pull it all apart. Things calm down despite the knowledge that there will be no food available for the next 8 hours. But then, restoration! Salvation is at hand as we hear the bell of a steward walking the food and drink trolley down the aisle. Dismally, initial hope is abandoned when we realise that he only carries bottled water and explains that the food and sandwiches were never put on the train. We are now in a situation where we need cool heads. Stefano talks to the guard, who says he doesn't believe that there is a strike in Naples station, at least not for traveller-related food services on the concourse. Naples is just an hour and a half away, and there is a 10-minute stayover at the station before the train carries on to Rome. One of our players is a Napolitano, and knows the station terminus very well. As if reenacting Where Eagles Dare, Stefano, playing the role of Richard Burton, along with our Neapolitan advisor, creates a detailed plan of Napoli Centrale train station. We know exactly where on the concourse the Alimentare is, also the Rosticceria, but the Bar Vinaio is slightly further away from the platform and is definitely a job for the speedy wingers. In small groups, they are assigned their roles, which they must accomplish at breakneck speed. Lasagna or pasta asciutta from the Alimentari, along with some bread. For some reason, the forwards have assumed the role of buying a host of spit-roasted chickens from the Rosticceria, along with vegetables. And Webby's affection for wine means he will be overseeing the speedsters in the all-important beverage purchase. The nervous tension is palpable as we approach Naples station, and a final briefing of the various teams takes place. Just where on the concourse is your target retailer? Everyone responds in the affirmative, as if they were back in national service. Impressively, everyone is in the know and focused. Just to make sure that we are as one, the captain, Renato, is now delivering an inspiring team talk as the lads edge to the carriage doors to begin their mission. It is then that a voice over the loudspeaker confirms that there is a strike at Naples and all shops on the concourse are closed. Well, Ian had never quite experienced a scene like this. Grown men fighting back the tears with a crescendo of recriminations, accusations, criticisms, denunciations and disapproval. One of the players, Piero, throws a complete hissy fit and changing into pre-packed pyjamas, grazie mamma, he pulls down one of the beds in his compartment and gets in, muttering something unprintable about Italia Rail. It's at this point that we spot Daniele Donati, our fearsome second row forward, pleading with a Sicilian lady. She's dressed in black, a widow, and is heading north to visit her son, who migrated to Milan in search of work. She doesn't have a suitcase, just a big cardboard box tied up with string. But what she does have is a loaf of bread and a bottle of mineral water. After almost 10 minutes of strenuous negotiation, Daniele hands her 10,000 lire and she passes over the loaf and water. All is not lost, and Stefano now rallies the troops again for an assault on Rome's main station, Roma Termini. It is an hour or so away, but we know for certain from the steward that everything is definitely open there. It's been a difficult 2 hours, filled with negativity and anguish, but we are all poised for an offensive on the culinary outlets on Roma Termini's concourse. Tension is once again building, but what the heck has just happened? The awful realisation dawns on us that we have just bypassed the main station and we have stopped at the deserted Rome Tiburtina station. Our last chance of salvation has now disappeared. There follows a melee, a brawl and bickering disorder. They've been on the train now for 7 hours with no food, and it's going to get substantially longer. The bedlam, mayhem and free-for-all chaos is silenced by the following announcement.
Questo treno preferenzi...
Due to problems on the Rome to Florence track, there will be a necessary diversion to Viareggio and then to Florence. This slow track detour will add another 3 hours onto our already catastrophic train journey. And guess what? No stop on the way to bring on foodstuffs. At this point, even Ian is getting upset by this ludicrous situation. It isn't quite of the lip-quivering variety, but we are now genuinely pissed off. Fed up and hungry, we say to Gigi Beanie, let's get away from the pandemonium and get to the spaces where the carriages couple. We sit down there and open the souvenir bottle of the local Reggio brandy that L'Americano would never have liked anyway. Gigi pulls out his pack of Marlboro and we smoke the packet and drink the bottle dry for an hour or two, with the Lazio wind blowing through the rattling half-open window. But something is not quite right. The noise from our teammates has completely died down, only to be replaced by interspersed cheers of approval, followed by thunderous applause, then prolonged silence. There's the occasional bout of booing, and now loud whooping and hollering, culminating in a massive explosion of elation and foot stamping. What the hell is going on? Asked Gigi. We venture to our reserved compartments to investigate. Looking in, we view the strangest of scenes. It seems that virtually our entire group is amazingly packed into a single compartment. The lighter halfbacks and wingers are perched up high on both sides, like eagles' nests built into the luggage shelves. The now open middle layer of beds is occupied by those with middle-sized frames, again on both sides of the compartment, with the bossy big ones from the forwards controlling the lower beds. We have stumbled upon a pint-sized La Scala opera house, moving at great speed through the Italian night, and not necessarily in the right direction either. We must have missed the antipasto, but Lorenzo Bisori, an amateur dramatic actor, takes centre stage. When my mother makes amatriciana, see, 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 the compartment yells its encouraging approval of this selected dish. Lorenzo continues. She puts a little olive oil in the pan. Plop, plop. There are some shouts of disapproval. You've got that wrong. You don't need oil. There is no consensus within the compartment. Two unruly groups in disagreement. Stefano, always thoughtful, steps in as a mediator. Lorenzo, is your mother going to use guanciale? Yes, he replies. Well, in that case, the excellent fat from the guanciale will lubricate the pan and you won't need oil, elucidates Stefano, resolving the impasse with his typical gentle rationale. Bravo, ingegnere! More bravos and applause all round for our peacemaker. Lorenzo, returning to his pretend kitchen, dices the guanciale into medium-sized chunks and drops them extravagantly from a height into a searing hot pan and is encouraged by sizzling sounds from the peanut gallery. Then it all kicks off again with boos and shouts of wrong, wrong, wrong. The protester's theory is that it has to be on medium heat to allow the fat to gently render and avoid crispy slices. Diplomatically, Lorenzo makes a big point of turning the knob down on his hypothetical gas hob. Cipolle, si o no? Onions, yes or no? Now there are overriding, deafening shouts of yes, yes, yes! Leonardo then, to appreciative applause and laughter, mimes tears falling down his face as he dices the onions. He adds imaginary tomato passata to the pan and performs the classic chef's toss. The next question for our discerning theatre-goers is, how should the spaghetti be cooked? Al dente! Al dente! Al dente! They scream back like children at a Christmas panto. Add the pasta to the sauce, the upper tier shouts. And as Leonardo enacts the tossing of the entire concoction, the group bang the walls, stamp their feet, and shout out in unison, mantecare, 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 to encourage an accurate toss. It's not all over yet. The scrum half jumps down and dips an imaginary fork into Lorenzo's pasta. But he has ambitiously put too much spaghetti on his fork, and it keeps falling back onto his plate to sighs and groans from the gallery. Then Lorenzo shows him how it is done, managing the appropriate amount and checking for approval with his audience. Leonardo holds the newly twirled concoction up high, just like the Olympic flame, and delivers it slowly and expressively to his mouth. No crowd from La Scala or San Carlo could ever have treated their artists with louder or more enthusiastic applause. And all this as the train's carriage continues to reverberate on its diverted route to Firenze. Leonardo's pasta course was abstractly magnificent, but it couldn't compare with Renato's roasted baby lamb and potatoes which followed. It had the boys calling out for more, even in the way he slammed the oven door shut with his hips. Never was there going to be a course of more hypothetical majesty than this. Ian could see the boys wiping away meat juices from their chins and pulling non-existent rosemary from their teeth as they satisfied their whimsical hunger. Other menus and imaginary meals were served as this torturous journey continued. At one of the stops, someone from our party managed to let our wives and partners know about our revised arrival in Florence, and it must have been nearly 6 a.m. when our train finally pulled into Santa Maria Novella station in Florence. Starved, bedraggled, and battle-weary, we limped down the platform towards our waiting loved ones, resembling the returning defeated Confederate army of Robert E. Lee. I could almost hear, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord," playing over the tannoy.
Italia 77 was devised, written and introduced by me, Ian McAllister, and read by Richard Greenwood, who also contributed to the writing. It was recorded and produced by Tom Allam and Nigel Heath at La Cucina Studios, London, and edited by Stu Smith, Nigel Heath, and Jamie Allam. If you've enjoyed the show, please hit the like button, subscribe, and consider leaving a review. Italia 77 is a Zacuti production.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.